John this morning. John for the reading of God's Word. John chapter 3. If you're just getting familiar with your Bible, you'll come to Matthew in the New Testament, Mark, Luke, and then John. And if there's somebody next to you that does not have a Bible, if you'll slide over with them and just point them in the right direction and help them with the Scripture this morning. In John chapter 3, we'll be reading seven verses, verses 1 through 7. If you'll read with me on the evens, 2, 4, and 6, and then I will read verses 1, 3, 5, and 7 this morning. In John chapter 3, if you'll stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. I'll begin reading in John chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the reading that we've read this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to open the Scripture. Lord, we pray that you bless the message. Lord, I pray that you would just a calm would come across the auditorium as preacher delivers the message. Lord, I pray you just prepare our hearts with this special. In your name we pray. Amen.
To some it's just an emblem, a formality. It's a symbol that's been used so frequently. Many blaspheme and despise, though its ancient it abides. A shrine to death that stands for life to me. There was a cross for the Son of God at Calvary. Two pieces of rough timber on a hill. Through his hands and through his feet, he took the nails for you and me. Angels watched as he died for the lost. Though he could have walked away, he chose the cross. Why this old emblem is so dear to me. It stood for suffering, yet it brought us peace. It bridged the gap for men, offered cleansing for our sins. An icon that reminds us that we're free. There was a cross made for the Son of God at Calvary. Two pieces of rough timber on a hill. Through his hands and through his feet, he took the nails for you and me. Angels watched as he died for the lost. Though he could have walked away, in view, for that's where I was saved. I was saved. There was a cross made for the Son of God at Calvary. Two pieces of rough timber on a hill. Through his hands and through the nails for you and me. Angels watch as he died for the lost. Though he could have walked away, he chose the cross. The cross. Though he could have walked away, he chose the cross.
Good singing today. Man, I enjoyed that from the bottom of my heart. Outstanding. I want to speak this morning on the subject, are you missing someone in religion? Is it possible to miss somebody in religion? And the Bible tells us it is. That's our first topic in this series, and I hope that you'll make plans to come back, but I'm glad that you're here today. So listen carefully. We'll talk about this subject today. Are you missing someone in religion? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the cross on which our Savior Jesus Christ died, was buried, and then rose again the third day. What the cross means to us is beyond words this morning. Thank you for the privilege to speak from your book. I pray that your Spirit will be here in power. We have the right word. We have the right Bible. But God, we need your anointing. Holy Spirit of God, come in this room, speak to our hearts, visit us, I pray. That's what we need. I ask for him this morning to come in great power in Jesus' name. And amen. The ultimate goal of most religions, if not all religions, is to prepare people to live in heaven forever. You know, so I believe religions are also interested in helping people enjoy what we would call, I guess, a purposeful and meaningful life here on earth. But the ultimate goal of religion is eternal life in that wonderful place called heaven. In fact, I think this bears this out. In fact, many people would tell you something like this if they had the opportunity to talk to you. They'd say something like this. You know, it really doesn't matter what religion you are. All of them end up at the same place. And that's the mindset about religion in a lot of cases. This is what I mean. You know, that the ultimate goal of most, if not all, religions is to prepare people to live in heaven, okay? That's really what they're for. Most religions, that's their ultimate goal and their aim. Here's the problem. Not all people are going to heaven. Here's what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's opposite heaven. So it's obvious when you get to the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, almost the last chapter in the Bible, it's obvious that some people don't get to heaven. Well, you know, somebody says, okay, Pastor, that's talking about people who have had no religion, you know, and they should have had a religion. If they'd have had a religion, they would have gone to heaven. Well, without you turning to it, let me read for you some very startling words. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, listen carefully instead of turning and looking because we're going to go right back to John 3. And I hope you got a Bible to look, but listen very carefully. This is Jesus speaking, okay? And he says these words, and I'm quoting now, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Now, let me ask you, we stop right there. Would we call that some form of religion? Okay. Let's do it again. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? We're talking about a religious person doing something in the name of Jesus. Okay. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's startling verse. That's shocking verses. Jesus said, in that day, the judgment day, many are going to say, I had religion. I was a religious person. And I had a church, and I had these rituals that I'd gone through, and I didn't ignore religion. I went to church. I was religious. And yet the Bible says that Jesus responds by saying, "I never knew you. Depart from me." Now, friend, if you depart from God, there's only one other eternal place to live. Because our Bible only talks about two eternal places. One is called heaven, one is called hell. There is no in between. Okay? You don't float through eternity on some cloud in some suspended form of life. You go to a place. You go to either heaven or you go to hell. And Jesus says some religious people are going to say to me in that day, whoa, why are we not going into heaven? And Jesus is going to respond to them, "I never knew you." So listen carefully. This is my topic this morning. Here are religious people who go to hell because their religion failed them. Now look, friend, this is not a Baptist position. This is the Bible, okay? If you've got a Bible, I'm reading right from the same Bible that's in your lap, okay? It's a Bible position. You see, there is a revealing statement from God, made by God in this passage. He said these words. Remember this? "I never knew you." You know it's possible to know of someone without knowing them? And don't take this to mean that, you know, God's in the dark. God's in the dark about me. God's in the dark about my situation. God's in the dark about my life. No, God's not in the dark about anything. Okay? There's a difference in knowing somebody and knowing of somebody. And he said, "I never knew you." Someone was missing in these people's religion. And what it was not a thing. There was not some more religious thing that they needed to do. There was not some more religious ritual that they needed to perform. What was missing was a relationship with God. "I never knew you." A relationship. That's what the Lord's saying. And therein lies the sad truth about millions of people around the world today. They have religion but are missing a relationship with God. Now, if you let me say this morning, the ritual of religion will not take you to heaven. Okay? Only a relationship with God through His Son Jesus will take you to heaven. And God put a classic case of a person who had religion but was missing someone in John chapter 3 so that we could learn from this about this most important matter. And people, could I have your mind this morning for just a little bit? It's 11:36. We'll be done by probably 12 or 12:05. Could I have your mind for a half an hour? Because this is not talking about how to make money. This is not talking about anything temporal. This is talking about eternal matters, okay? And truth is, you and I, our minds cannot comprehend eternity. We can't do that. So I want to talk to you about this morning, about this man named Nicodemus. We read about him a moment ago with Brother Bragg. Here is a classic case of a religious man who was missing something in his relationship. He was missing that relationship with God. Now, I've got three simple points this morning. First of all, we're going to look for a few minutes at what he had. What he had. Look at it in verse number one. If you got a Bible, if you didn't, it's okay. If you're close to somebody, you can look on. That's better. If not, it's not hard to follow along. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, plain here, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. There were three main religious groups in Jerusalem in the day that Jesus walked on the earth. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Essenes. Okay? Now, one of those three religious groups, the largest group, the most popular group of the day was the Pharisees. And a Pharisee was an extremely religious person. They studied the Old Testament books of the law. They studied Genesis. They studied Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy continuously. They studied. They picked apart every word. Their religion was pretty consuming. It affected what they ate. how they dressed, how they prayed, how they gave. They were immersed in religious rituals, in washings, in holy days and feast days and sacrifices. And I could go on and on and on. And we're not talking here about people who tipped religion once every 6 months. We're talking here about people who were immersed in religion. Okay? Immersed in it. Religious people. Now, not only was Nicodemus a Pharisee, but the Bible says that he was a ruler of the Jews. Now, wait a minute. It's not talking about it. This is not a political office, okay? The political power in this day was Rome. This is not a political office. This meant that Nicodemus was a part of what was known to be the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was a council that was created to oversee judicial matters among the Jewish people. So if this is Brother Bragstein, and this is Brother Hansenberg, and they're Jewish guys, okay, and they have a problem with each other, and I'm on the Sanhedrin, they don't go to the court, they don't go to the Roman court to settle their disputes. They come to the Sanhedrin. Okay? Because the Sanhedrin rules over internal Jewish affairs. That's what Nicodemus was a part of. He sat on the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was made up of 70 men. Now listen, there are 80,000 people in Jerusalem at this time. Most of them Pharisees. 70 of them were chosen to be a part of the Sanhedrin. Nicodemus was one of that 70. We're talking about a select group here. Okay? A select group of men. Now, the high priest, you know how the Senate works in out here. Excuse me, you know how the Senate doesn't do anything. But, how it's supposed to work, right? Okay? But, you got 50 senators, right? And if there happens to be 25 Republicans and 25 Democrats, and there's a 25-25 tie in the Senate. No, that's not. There's 100, aren't there? 100 senators, right? Yeah, that's right. It's 2 per state, right? Yes, 2 per state. That's 100. Okay. So you got 50 Democrats and 50 Republicans, and there's a tie. The Vice President of the United States rules over the Senate, and he casts the deciding vote. Okay? Well, you had 70 people on the Sanhedrin, so it's possible that 35 of them could side with Brother Bragstein, and 35 of them could side with Brother Hansenberg, and there'd be a tie, and the high priest, he cast the deciding vote. Whichever you guys has the most cash, we'll take that this morning. Isn't that how our... No, excuse me, all right, but anyway. That's what the Sanhedrin was. So you got 70 men. Nicodemus was one of these 70. So I said, Pastor Angel, what are you going to all this trouble for to talk about this, the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin? I'm trying to help you see this morning that Nicodemus, he had religion. He had religion, man. If he had anything in his life, he had religion. He was a good man, a good reputation, or else he would not have been on this council called the Sanhedrin. So this is what he had. He had a life that was guided and directed by religion. Now, one night, after dark, Nicodemus left his house in search of Jesus Christ. I would imagine that most of the streets in Jerusalem were empty. He probably didn't want anybody else on the Sanhedrin to see him going to see Jesus. And he knew where Jesus was, so maybe they had set up an appointment that day or something. But Nicodemus, the religious ruler of the Jews, went to seek out Jesus Christ. Now, friend, you know why Nicodemus went to seek out Jesus Christ? Because something was troubling him. He had religion. There's something inside that's not satisfied. And he was probably tired of trying to find out one more religious ritual to perform. Where do you stop? If I've got to do and 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 do, when do I quit doing? Where do you stop? And so he just said, man, so he snuck out of his house in the dark of the night, and he went and he found Jesus, probably on a rooftop somewhere. The two of them began to talk. So we see what Nicodemus had. He had religion. Number two, we're going to look at this. What was Nicodemus missing? What was he missing? In spite of what he had, Nicodemus was missing. Now watch this. Not something. He already had that. He had religion. So he's not missing something. He is missing someone, and that is why he sought out Jesus Christ. Now, you can't miss this. This just jumps off the page at you as Jesus and Nicodemus began to talk. It didn't take Jesus long to get right to the point. And I want you to see it if you brought your Bible. If not, just listen. Look at verse number 3. Do you see in the middle of that verse, number 3, do you see the little word born? Do you see that? Born? If you'd like to mark your Bible, circle it. Born. And then when you go to verse number 4, you see the word born twice. And then when you go to verse 5, you see the word born used again. And when you go to verse 6, you see the word used twice in verse number 6. And when you read verse number 7, you see the word born used again. And then when you read verse number 8, at the end of the verse, there is the word born used another time. People, 8 times in just a handful of verses, you've got the word born, 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 born. It doesn't take a college class. It doesn't take a dictionary. It doesn't take a Bible student to figure out that, you know, they're talking here about a birth. Born. Born, 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 born. It's used 8 times in this passage. Nicodemus was missing a birth. A birth. Now, he had already had his physical birth, and that's what he referred to in verse number 4. When Jesus told him in verse 3, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. He's a grown man. He's thinking, whoa, time out, born again. And he said to Jesus, how in the world, I'm a grown man, how do I go back and be born a second time? Do I go back into my mother's womb and have another birth? What's he thinking, folks? He's thinking physical birth. Right? That's how all of us got here. Physical birth. He already had the physical birth, but the birth that Jesus was talking about was the birth that Nicodemus was missing. Jesus was talking about a spiritual birth. Look at verse number 5, if you have your Bible. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus said, you got to have two births. Got to have two births. Now, born of water is a reference to the physical birth. You say, how do you know that? Look at verse number 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. We've all had that birth this morning. Look, folks, you know what this is? And you can pinch yourself. You got the same stuff I got. This is flesh. This is not born of God. This is born of man. This is born of Robert and Amanda Angel 55 plus years ago. Okay? I had a physical birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the physical is physical. I've had a physical birth. Caleb's had a physical birth. Mike's had a physical birth. We could go all the way around the room this morning. The reason you're sitting in this auditorium is because you've had a physical birth. All right? Then Jesus said, not only born of water, but he said, born of the Spirit. And if you have your Bible, what is that letter S at the beginning of the word Spirit? Is that an uppercase? So he's not talking about the spirit of man, is he? He's talking about the Spirit of God. And that's why he said at the end of verse number 6, that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, is spirit or spiritual. So Nicodemus, you're missing the spiritual birth. You've had the physical birth, but you're missing the spiritual birth. And he talks in verse number 8 about the being born of the Spirit. Now, people, listen carefully. Nicodemus had religion without relationship. I'm not talking about relationship with people. I'm talking about relationship with God. That's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 7 when he said to the people on that day, depart from me, I never knew you. Religion and religious ritual with no relationship, you will not get to heaven. That's what the Lord said. You can't see heaven. You can't enter heaven without the relationship. Now, people, without a second birth, without a spiritual birth, no one will see or enter heaven. It's that simple and it's that true. And by the way, this is not just an ancient story that has no relevance today. You can knock on the door. I've done this many times. You can knock on the door, begin to talk to somebody. Sit down at their kitchen table. Sit down on the couch in their living room. Or stand at the door on the porch and ask them this question. Hey, listen, let me ask you this. You know, it's great if you go to church, but what's more important is where you're going to spend eternity. Are you sure you're going to heaven when you die? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's great. Tell me, have you ever been born again? Well, what's that? Or, no. They said, Pastor, how can they say that they know they're going to heaven, but yet they do not know that they've been born again? Because, friend, believing that religion or religious ritual is all I need. But Jesus said religious ritual and religion won't get you to heaven. It's only a relationship with God. Relationship. Now, do you know, friend, I don't think this is hard to understand. Did you understand that birth creates relationship? I have a relationship with Robert and Amanda Angel. Dad is 76. They're out in Ohio this morning where my brother is still weakening and so forth, and that in and out of that coma and getting ready to go to heaven. Dad will be 77 in November, I think. Mom will be like 74, 75 in just a few days. I have a relationship with them because I was born to them. Birth creates relationship. That's what birth does. Plain and simple, birth creates relationship with God. Not physical birth, spiritual birth. Without the spiritual birth, without the second birth, there is no relationship with God. There's no eternal life in heaven. There is separation from God forever. I'll say again, listen carefully, religion will fail you. Relationship will not. Now you see what Nicodemus had. He had religion. You see what he was missing. He was missing the second birth. Jesus made that very clear. And then number three, let me say this. You must be born again. That's what Jesus said in verse number 7. He said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now understand, Jesus is talking with Nicodemus and he's told him how to be born again. That he needs to be born again. And then Jesus is going to tell Nicodemus how to be born again. Listen very carefully. You'll not read one thing in here about what Nicodemus has to do himself to earn salvation. Now folks, think about that. Stop and think. If there was something religious that you and I had to perform or do, some ritual to go through in order to be born again, have the second birth, don't you feel like Jesus would have put it right here? But there's nothing in this passage that says anything about what religious ritual must be performed. No, here's the blessed thing. It's already been done. It's already been done. When you get down to verse number 14, Jesus starts talking about his crucifixion. He says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's why it was a blessing to hear those men sing this morning the song about the cross. The cross is not just, not just something to be worshipped. It's what the cross represents. The cross represents the place where Jesus Christ, the Son of God, went and put his life on that cross and was judged for my sin and for your sin. The cross is where Christ paid the debt in full for everybody. This is what the Lord's talking about. Nicodemus, it's going to be done. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to become the sin sacrifice. I'm going to pay the debt. Hold on. After they take my life, after my life is taken on the cross, they're going to put me in a tomb and I'm going to be buried. But 3 days and three nights later, I'm coming out of that grave. Amen. To prove that I'm the Son of God with power. It's all going to be done in my death, my burial, and my resurrection. That's what Jesus went on to tell Nicodemus. All of it. Then he says in verse number 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what? Listen very carefully. Hey, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing Nicodemus could have done to earn salvation. But you must decide if you're going to receive God's gift or not. You've got to decide. It's done. It's paid in full. The opportunity to receive the gift of God, which is eternal life, to have the spiritual birth, to be born into God's family, it's done for us. But you and I must decide we're going to receive it or not. I can't decide for him. He can't decide for his wife. I can't decide for my wife. I can't decide for my children. Your spouse can't decide for you. Your dad and mom can't decide for you. You can't decide for your mom and dad. Every individual has to decide for themselves. Am I going to receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ, or am I not? And friend, the only way to be born again is to put your complete faith, your trust in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And when you do that, when you believe that Christ died for you, and when you by faith receive him into your heart, it's by faith. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you are convinced in your heart that you, there's no religion that can get you to heaven. Nothing you can perform or do. You understand that Jesus died on that cross to save you from your sin. If you believe that, if you'll take the next step and with your mouth receive, confess Christ as Savior, trust him. Ask him to be your Savior. God says if you believe and receive, you will become the Son of God, the child of God. Do you know when I became the son of Robert and Amanda Angel? It was January 27th, 1957. That's when I was born. Remember that. Next January, okay? No, I'm just kidding. Now, well, I wasn't always the son of, well, how long have you been the son of Robert and Amanda Angel? Oh, always. I was born. And for me, October 15th, 1975, I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ died on that cross, was buried and rose again. And with my mouth, I trusted him. I said, Lord Jesus, please, I receive what you did for me on the cross of Calvary. I trust you as my only hope for heaven. Please be my Savior. I believed, I received, I became the Son of God. Spiritual birth. Now, I didn't go through the water, go to bread. I didn't eat anything. I didn't drink anything. I didn't do anything. I just decided. This is it. Religion doesn't get you anywhere. All I can do and do and do and do. Nicodemus was doing it all. He's dotting every I. He's crossing every T. So I get it done. He wasn't missing something. Sometimes national tragedy comes. Sometimes physical tragedy comes. People start looking for something to satisfy. Man, what's the hole in my heart? I know I'll run to church. I'll try church for a while. I'll try this for a while. I'll try this for a while. And try and try and try. You put all your trying to bed. And you trust Jesus Christ. I beg you. I wish I could tell you this morning how much God loves you. I can't describe it in the human vocabulary. And the songwriter said, if every stalk, every blade of grass was a pen, and if the whole sky was a piece of paper, and we took every blade of grass and started writing in the sky about the love of God, the sky could not contain all that could be written about how much God loves you. Believe that, for you say, I can't believe it. Yes, you can. So much that He does not want you to be separated. Listen, the last thing God wants is to say, depart from me. And He created us to be with Him, not from Him. But God is a just God as much as He's a God of love. And with my sin unpaid for, I have to pay for it myself. Oh, listen. Religion will fail you. But relationship won't. Relationship won't. Relationship with Jesus Christ. Nicodemus wasn't missing something. He's missing someone. Years ago, I was going through the O'Hare Airport. This is before 9/11, 2001, before the days of all the security we have today. And I was walking down one of those terminals, going to the gate, the concourses, going to the gate. And a door opened that was off limits to the public. Several, you could tell, they were bodyguard type guys, suits, ties. They had little wires behind their ears, and you know, you could tell, and they got a little contingent. And I was walking something. I saw them, and Muhammad Ali walked out that door. That's before he's so stricken with, was it Parkinson's now or palsy or something? Then when I was a kid, Muhammad Ali, good night. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. In fact, I remember him being Cassius Clay. Who? Yeah, you just dated yourself. Huh? Yeah. What a boxer. If you're into that, some of the greatest boxing matches in time, Joe Frazier, smoking Joe Frazier. Muhammad Ali walked out that door. Now, believe me, friend, there was no thought in my mind. I'm going to go get him to sign my autograph. He's got like 10 people all around him, you know. They're probably carrying Uzis, you know, and all that stuff, you know. But I did watch him a little bit. I just kind of watched him. Great, big hulk of a man. Muhammad Ali was once asked what his faith meant to him. Now, listen to me. This is what he said. It means a ticket to heaven. One day we're all going to die. And God is going to judge us. So far, He's right. Our good and bad deeds. If the bad outweighs the good, you go to hell. If the good outweighs the bad, you go to heaven. I'm thinking about the judgment day and how you treat people wherever you go. Help somebody through charity, because when you do, it's been recorded. You know what Muhammad Ali was saying? You've got to have religion. You've got to have religion. You got to do something. Have some good life. Have some good deed. And you got to have religion. Well, again, I ask you, friend, if it's going to be the good outweighing the bad, how can you ever rest? How can you ever rest? Say, Brother Angel, do you ever have bad days? What are you talking about? Sure. Absolutely. You ever go to bed at night feeling like you had a failure of a day? You don't? But it never causes me to lie there in anxiety and fear that I'm not going to go to heaven because I had a bad day. Because I rested my case 35, 37 years ago. I rested it in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm begging you this morning, if you have put all the eggs of your basket, all the eggs of your life into the basket of religion, and you're counting on that for entrance into heaven, would you please hear the Bible this morning? Forget me. I'm not important. What's important is this book. Would you please hear this morning that Jesus said in that day, I will say to many, I never knew you. Depart from me. Friend, I beg you. I beg you. If you've not been saved by trusting completely in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not missing something. You're missing someone. Get it settled. I beg you. Get it settled. What better place to do it than church? Well, when I get home today, I'm going to think about this. What if you don't make it home? Get it settled. Nail it down. Put all your trying to bed. Put all your trying to rest. And trust completely in Jesus Christ. Amen. And be born again. Everybody in this room has had the physical birth. But there may be somebody here who's not had the spiritual birth. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Okay? Now either you have or you haven't. You either had the spiritual birth or you haven't. I beg you, think about that this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on the message. And just a couple things and we'll be soon on our way. Father, may your Spirit please do a work in our hearts today. I trust that your Spirit will draw people to Christ. And I ask you to do it through the power of the name of Jesus and the power of his shed blood. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Could I borrow your attention just with heads bowed and eyes closed? Could I borrow your attention for two or three questions? And all I want to ask you to do is be honest. Just be honest. Okay? Before God. Who can say, Pastor, I know that I've had the spiritual birth. I know it. K-N-O-W. I know it. I know I've had the spiritual birth. And I can raise my hand in testimony of that this morning. Just raise your hand. Slip it up if you know you've had the spiritual birth. If you know you've had the spiritual birth. Thank you. Take your hands down. Is there somebody here this morning who would say, I didn't raise my hand. You asked me to be honest, and I was. I don't know that I've had a spiritual birth. That's why I didn't raise my hand. Pastor, I didn't raise my hand a minute ago. I'll raise it now to say I don't know that I've ever experienced a spiritual birth. Would you slip your hand up, please? Just be honest. I don't know that I've ever experienced a spiritual birth. God bless you. Is there somebody else? I don't know that I've experienced a spiritual birth. Think about it. Either you have or you haven't. Okay? I'm not trying to make you a Baptist. I'm not trying to make you anything. I don't know if I've had the spiritual birth. Or I really don't think I have. God bless you. I see your hand. Somebody else? We'll take just a moment. Yes, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I haven't had the spiritual birth. Three or four hands have gone up. That's good. Somebody else? I'm here to help you this morning. I wonder if it'd be a blessing to you. I really am. All right, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me just say this. If you don't know for sure that you've had the spiritual birth, here's what I did 35 years ago, 37 years ago. Sitting in a service like this, the pastor gave me the opportunity to come and let somebody take the Bible and show me how to be spiritually born, spiritual birth. We have men to talk to men. We have ladies to talk to ladies. What you got to do is come to the nearest aisle, right down to one of these three men here, and just tell them, look, I don't know. I don't know. And somebody will talk to you, a person here in the church. It's not about becoming a Baptist. This is not about being a church member. Get that out of your mind. It's about knowing that you've had the spiritual birth. The spiritual birth. It's coming to Christ. I beg you to do it, please. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I've been saved. I know I've had the spiritual birth, but I've never been baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. Maybe you came to be baptized this morning. Anybody like that? Pray for me. I know that I'm saved, but I've never been baptized. Or I came to be baptized this morning. Anybody like that? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you came to be baptized, now's the time to come. Step out and make your way here to the front, and we'll get you ready to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Or if you want to talk to somebody about it, but you could come now. If you're here, you've been saved and baptized, and you know this is the place God wants you to become a member. You've talked to one of us about it. This is a good time to join, or else talk to one of these fellows and say, I'd like to talk to somebody about membership. But the bigger thing this morning, the biggest question for us today is, have you had the spiritual birth? Have you been born again? Please, friend, put it to rest. Why would you just continue to go and live in anxiety week after week after week after week after week? I hope I'm being good enough. I hope I'm doing enough. I hope I've said enough. It's not that. It's in Christ. I beg you. Just a minute, when the music begins to play, some have already come. If you're not sure that you're saved, you come to the front. Let somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Speak to our hearts. I pray that you'll deal with us, Lord. And I pray that your spirit will draw folks to Jesus Christ as only He can. Thank you so much, God, for loving us enough to send Jesus. You so loved the world that you gave Christ. Oh, God, help us to trust Him. I pray it in His name.